You know, I talked to Brian Maxwell weeks or months ago, and he said, like camping and hunting and fishing. And there's a lot of people camping this weekend or out hunting or fishing illegally or whatever they're doing. And I hope and pray that they'll tune in and listen to stay along in the series so that they can keep up with what God's doing in our church. But we need to pray for them that they will come home safe, ready for next week's work week, and to dig into the school year at hand. But we're in the middle of a series right now. Well, we just started. I don't call it in the middle. I guess we just started it last week. Where we're looking at different indicators in our life that we should be able to see evident as we grow in our faith. So I'm not preaching a normal series just on love. You know, I wanted to preach a series this February titled Love Shack. But some of y'all get too rowdy on that. So we couldn't do that. Y'all be dancing in church and different things. We didn't do that. But most series, you either stick on to a topic or a particular story or even a book. But today, like we did last week, we're looking at different signs or indicators that we should see. And it's kind of like a wellness exam I mentioned last week. You go to the doctor every year or every year and a half to get a wellness exam. Once you reach 40 or 50, you really look forward to those wellness exams. And those 40 or 50-year-olds can tell you younger folks what happens at those points to remind you and encourage you for that time. But whenever you go to the doctor, you get a wellness exam, and they might tell you, hey, your blood pressure is too high, or your cholesterol is too high, or something is too low. So this is what you need to do to fix it. Just like we did last week, we're looking at things in our lives, and if we're lacking or doing a very poor job at, then we need to ask God to forgive us of our shortcomings and our flaws and seek a new life and live in a new way. So last week, we started this by me saying that as you come to faith in Jesus Christ and as you choose to follow him, as you choose to go all in, not just a casual Sunday attendance, Jesus, here I am, but an all-in, life-giving, I give you all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I choose to follow you. As you come to that point, the first thing that we should see is that there is a difference of pursuits in our life. So the old me used to pursue money or whatever you used to pursue before you came to Jesus. It used to pursue greed, or maybe used to pursue sin or lust or drunkenness or whatever it was, idolatry, adultery. Whatever the old self used to pursue and used to seek, that was you. But Paul says, in Christ we are a new creature. Therefore, the old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. So whenever I go from the old me to the new me in Christ, as the Holy Spirit convicts me and challenges me and confronts me and reveals to me day after day, then I must now pursue holiness. I said last week that you and I, above all things, should pursue to be more and more like Jesus. That's it. I'm not saying you can't work hard for your family. I'm not saying you can't have hobbies or interests or play sports or fish or shop or crochet or do whatever it is that you do. I'm not saying you can't do that. But above all things, we should be focused on becoming more and more like Jesus. So I have a goal in life. And I have a lot of goals and a lot of aspirations and big dreams and all these things. And none have come to pass yet. But one goal that I have that I will promise you, hopefully, will come to pass. It is this. I pray that one day when I get old and pass away, I have three girls standing next to my casket. Not because they feel awkward because of a faulty relationship in which we had, or not because they feel like they're acting as if something that they are not. I want my three girls to stand there at the head of my casket or the foot of my casket, wherever it is that they are. I want them to stand there and be wanting to be there. Here's why. I want them to be able to declare, and I have stiff competition in this because their wife is incredible. Usually when my wife's downstairs, I say some things she wouldn't want me to say about her. But I have to say this about my wife. She is the embodiment of Jesus Christ to me and to my family. But what I want one day to happen is I want my three girls to stand there. And I want them to be able to declare confidently that my daddy was the closest thing to Jesus I could ever see on this earth. That's what I want. I don't care if they say he was a good preacher or he put us all to sleep. I don't care if they said he was poor or he was rich. I don't care if they say he was handsome or he was wrinkly. I don't care what they say other than that. I want them to be able to look down at their daddy and say, that was the closest thing to Jesus we could ever see on earth. How do I get there? Well, first, I must pursue holiness above all things. I have to pursue holiness and be a holiness seeker in my home to show my girls that there are times in your life where the pressure of life is so heavy that the only place you can go is down on your face, spending time in prayer, digging into God's word, counting on those few people that will push you up. I want to show my girls that yes, there may be jobs that pay well, but what ways can God use you and where is God calling you to? Yes, you can live on the beach, but where is God leading you to? I want to show them such a pursuit of holiness, and I just have to be honest with you right now, church. I sometimes stink at that. Sometimes I stink, but that's what my goal is. I have to pursue holiness, and going into this week, we will see in our lives a sign that is showing the progress, which is movement forward or advancement in the process of becoming like Jesus, and it is found in our passions. Our passions. You know, passions is, I wrote it down because sometimes I forget and I'm not as smart as some of you are. Passions are defined as intense driving, overmastering feeling, or conviction. Passion can be defined as an ardent affection or love. Passion can be defined as a strong liking or desire for or devotion to something. And because we have passions, that means we become passionate. Well, passionate is defined as capable of, affected by, an overexpression of intense feeling in doing whatever it is that we're doing. So some of us are passionate about hunting. Some of us are passionate about shopping. Some of us are passionate about ball. Or some of us are passionate about some NASCAR. Some of us are passionate about things. And whenever we're watching those things or we're doing those things, we are excited. Some of us are passionate about the wrong things, though. Some of us are passionate about things that God's not passionate about. So what I want to do today is I wanted to look at our passions. What is it that drives you? What is it that motivates you to be who you are? And living this life by your passions, what you are passionate about, will actually cause you to be the best version of yourself. So my passions are, of course, the Lord, of course, my wife, and of course, my kids. Like, I am passionate in that responsibility and in those roles. But I am passionate also about digging into God's word. Like, there is nothing that excites me more whenever I study God's word and I find something new or he reveals something different to me. Like, I just love it. I know some of y'all are like, well, like, I don't get it. But I just love digging into the word and seeing how it all comes together and how it's all able to be edifying to my soul. And then I love being able to proclaim the word. I love being able to preach the word. And sometimes I'm fairly decent at it, and sometimes I'm horrible at it. But I just like doing it. I'm passionate about it. I don't care if it's horrible or if it puts you to sleep. I'm going to give all that I have into my study, my preparation, and proclamation to give. I'm passionate about seeing people who have no food get fed. I'm passionate about seeing people who have no clothes be clothed. I'm passionate about seeing almost 530 or 540 people come through our doors on a Share What You Wear Saturday and leave with things that they didn't have. There is no greater satisfaction in our souls than when we actually operate in what we're passionate about. That's what we're satisfied with. Whenever our passion is basketball, when we win the game, our soul is satisfied because we're passionate about it. So here's what I began doing this week, and I began praying, ask God, God, I need help here because sometimes I'm passionate about the wrong things, or sometimes I give too much energy to the wrong things. And we should see in our lives over time as we walk with the Lord that our passions become godly passions. They should be things that he is concerned about, feeding people, loving people, serving people, all of those things. And I actually went to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I don't know if they even print books anymore or like dictionaries anymore, but they do have it online. And I went to the website, and I went merriam-websterdictionary.com, and I typed in the word passion. And do you know the first definition that came up said this: the sufferings of Christ between the time of his Last Supper and his death. Passion. You know, we all know the passion of Christ, the passion of the Christ, the great passion. It was the time in which he ate dinner with his disciples and then was arrested in the garden. And it was the time in which he suffered until he died. That's the passion. And it was so beautiful how everything started to come together, because it was in that moment that I started really picturing the passion of Christ. And I started to picture the sufferings of Christ. And I found something out, that the passion of Jesus was actually rooted in his purpose. His passion was rooted in his purpose. And what we're going to do today is we're going to read one passage of Scripture, and we're going to dissect it in a way that you will see that our passions in this life as Christians should be differently than they were before Jesus. And our passions should be connected to his passion, and our passions will be rooted in our purpose. And that is what should satisfy our soul and stir our affections evermore, is to operate in our purpose, growing passionate about the things that God has called us to do. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And the purpose of Jesus comes right out of his mouth, and he mentions it over and over, and it's all throughout the Scripture, but I want to take out this one passage and pick it apart. So Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. We're going to pick this apart together. And we're going to pick it into three different sections. So if you take notes or if you write this out, you can write it all at once, and then we can write it in separate brackets. Or if you're in your Bible, you can highlight it or however you want to do it. Well, we're going to read this passage of Scripture. We're going to see three things that we find in the purpose of Jesus that we should find in our purpose, and we do find. And it's three things that should drive us, or things that we should grow passionate about. And here it is. If we could put it on the screen as well, let's see if this thing works. Okay, they're ahead. All right. So, I'm passionate about a clicker that works well. And my clicker doesn't work well, but Bruce is the man, and Bruce works well. So, thank you, Bruce. Everybody give it up for Bruce. Go, Bruce. Yeah, yeah. So, we're going to dig into this text, and this is what Jesus says. This is from his mouth. He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what was the purpose of Jesus coming? Well, he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what we're going to do now is we're going to dissect this passage of Scripture into three different parts and have three different observations or applications that you and I should operate in as well. So that was his purpose. Now let me just define your purpose. Your purpose is simple. My purpose is simple. Yeah, I know you have different operations or different roles in the home, but your greater purpose in this life is to glorify God by loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving others as yourself, and making disciples. That's your purpose. Now, of course, you're going to work. Of course, you're going to enjoy things. Of course, you're going to go shopping or go on vacation. But your overall purpose, what you should be focused about, I would have given you a drink of mine, but it's flu season, and I don't roll like that. But your greater purpose should be to glorify God by loving him above all things and all people, loving others as yourself, and making disciples. That's it. It's easy. Now, sometimes it's difficult to carry out, but the overall picture is easy. So let's dig into this purpose of Jesus. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that's the first part I want to break down, because what we see in that is that the purpose of Jesus was a selfless purpose. He did not come to be served, but he came to serve. See, the people in that day were waiting for Jesus to rise up as this great power and to be served in a way that the kings were on the earth. They were going to have much wealth, and they were going to have great possessions. They were going to own much land. They were going to have many servants. And they were going to expound this kingdom of Jerusalem into something that is so big and strong that no other country could overthrow. They were waiting for the deliverance of the oppression of the Romans. But Jesus says, I did not come to be served. What he's saying there is, I did not come to do what you're expecting me to do. I came to do something bigger. I came to do something greater. My purpose is not to sit on a throne for a few years and pass it on to someone else. My purpose is to come here so that you all here on this earth could actually live with me in my greater throne, which is not earthly, but it is eternal. So I did not come because I want to be honored here on the earth and have a great amount of wealth and all of these people. I came so that you could be delivered from your sin, and I came in and of myself. Step down from my kingdom, step down from glory. I came wrapped in humanity and wrapped in humility so that I could draw you to me and so you could be delivered by me. I came for you. So let's ask ourselves, whenever we do things, are we selfless or are we selfish? What are you? Let me just be honest with you. This is probably the thing I struggle with the most because I expect things to operate around my schedule. When I come home, I want things to be done this way or at that time, or when I go somewhere, I just want things my way. I like it my way. McDonald's told me to have it my way, and for years I lived it. Have it your way. And the thing is I just grow in selfishness. And I'll tell you that this is probably the one point out of the three that I struggle with truly understanding that not everything's about me. Because when I get home and I wonder why the people aren't ready to go in my house because we've got somewhere else to be, I forget that I have never gotten three little me's together and wrapped up and ready to go. I can barely deal with one of me. And my wife has three 50% me. And pray for her. Because when I come home and they're not ready to go, I finally realize, oh, my five-year-old was standing on the fridge. Or my three-year-old was hiding in the dryer. Or whatever that is that they do. Like, I can't handle getting myself ready on time sometimes. But then I expect her, why aren't we ready? We've got to be ready. I've got this time to be this place. Or when we go to work, why didn't we get the promotion? Why didn't we get the recognition or the award? Why didn't we get the extra day off or the time off? Why me? Why not me? Why them? And what happens is we grow in selfishness. And I'll just be honest with you, real honest with you. If I'm not careful, I can be so selfish, I can have my wife wanting to pack her bags within an hour. I can have my wife wanting to pack her bags in an hour. And don't look at me like I'm the only one. Some of y'all are right there too. I mean, some of y'all could be so selfish, so selfish. And here's the thing that I've come to realize, that whenever I live in a selfish mindset and I find myself wanting all things my way, my time, my this, my that, it just pushes people away and we grow miserable. We grow bitter because we weren't designed to live for us. In fact, the Bible says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. That means you did not make yourself. You have no right to expect things done your way. I did not make myself. I have a greater authority, and his name is Jesus, that I should operate under. I should not be selfish, but there are times where I am so selfish. I make it miserable, and I grow bitter. I'm telling y'all, if it wasn't for the grace of God and the Spirit of God ministering to my heart or my wife or sometimes shutting my mouth, she would be long gone. Long gone. My pursuit is one of selflessness. I should look at my life understanding my purpose is to love God, love others, make disciples. None of that includes me all of the time. It includes my participation and it includes my cooperation, but it does not include my name. It doesn't include my legacy. It doesn't include what I'm going to leave behind, because sometimes we grow in a state where we are so concerned about the opinions of other people, how we pursue their approval, or we're so concerned about what we're going to leave behind, the legacy we're building, the name we're building, or the brand we're trying to establish, that we forget that this life, we are so focused on us, so focused on what we are able to do or what we should do, that we're missing out on what we could do. We're missing out on what we could be. We're missing out on the needs that we could meet. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but I came to serve. I came because of all of you. That was his purpose. So my purpose should be to be focused on all of the people around me and live selflessly rather than selfishly. And I'm telling you, the more selfless you live, the more people you will draw to yourself. The more selfish you live, the more miserable you will be as you push them all away. Try it out. Be selfish for 6 months, turn it around and be selfless and tell me how it goes. I'm telling you, when you live selfless and when you focus on what you could be and what God could do through you, you will find such more satisfaction in this life. So the first thing that we must understand is our purpose is to be one like Jesus. It was selfless. And then he goes on to say, and to give his life. Goodness, that is so beautiful. To give his life. This is the sacrificial part of his purpose. Sacrificing sometimes hurts, right? Sometimes calling someone back and sitting on the phone with them for an hour, sacrificing that time that you could be doing something else. Sometimes it hurts. It's a sacrifice. Sometimes taking someone to the doctor or picking them up and bringing them home or whatever it is that you could do. Sometimes sacrificing, staying at work late because someone is truly hurting. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. And sometimes that sacrifice hurts. I like to do things. I like to go places. And if I ever had money, I would like to buy things. Real nice things. Like name brand things. I wouldn't shop at Old Navy any longer if I had a lot of money. But I realize that that's not it. I should sacrifice what I do and what I am to actually do things and meet needs for other people. And sometimes it is a sacrifice. Sometimes I have to give more than I really want to give. Let me just say this. Jesus did not come to earth to hang on a cross because he thought, man, that would be a great time. Let me just take some nails, beat me to where they can't even recognize me. Sign me up. Sign me up. He did not say, man, that looks beautiful. You know what? You know, some of us like to save for vacation because we can't wait to get to that spot. That's not what Jesus was thinking as he was waiting the moment in which he was pierced to the tree. But he understood that because of the joy set before him and the will of the Father that he was going to do it because he was going to give himself up on our behalf. So whenever we give something up like Jesus did, we understand that there is an impact. So when Jesus gave himself up for you and for me, the impact was that now, because of the blood that he shed, our sins can be forgiven. And sometimes when you give of your money or when you give of your time, it leaves an impact to where it could literally change the life of someone else. Or maybe it's just giving someone a smile when they had no smile because you took the time, instead of hurry up and getting out of the gas station, getting in the car and going, you took the time to say, hey, how are you doing today? Or maybe because you see someone on the corner of the road and you understand that they have literally no food, it's a sacrifice to say, man, I really wanted this fast food and this drink, but you know what? Let me give it to him because I have more food at home. Though I have to sacrifice the time and the money to give it to him and then the time to go cook it. Let me just give something that I have in my hands to them. So our purpose is to be sacrificial, to love God, to love others. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of our own mercy and grace to love people that we view do not deserve it. Sometimes it's painful to discuss something to someone or to forgive someone of something when you view they do not deserve it. But our purpose is to be one like his, and it is to be sacrificial. You know, the story of the rich young ruler is probably the greatest example in the Gospels. He said, Master, I've obeyed all of the commandments. I've done everything that I must do. What must I do in order to receive eternal life? Jesus said, give everything you have to the poor. Go and give everything that you have to the poor. And the young man walked away because he wasn't willing to give and to sacrifice what he had. And I'm just telling you, some of y'all have gifts, you have resources, you have time that you could sacrifice. But because we aren't selfless, because we don't want to sacrifice, we just hold on to things. We hold on to our things. We hold on to our time. We hold on to our gifts. And we do not operate in the purpose that God has designed us to operate in. And I know sometimes it hurts to give what you don't want to give, but I'm telling you, there is no greater satisfaction than giving something to someone and seeing the need that you met. There's no greater satisfaction than being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus on earth and to give to someone or to a family or to a cause that is bigger than you. So we have to understand as his purpose was a selfless one, it was a sacrificial one, that our purpose is to be selfless and to be sacrificial. And the more we grow closer to the Lord, we will understand this and we will see it evident in our lives that we actually grow passionate doing those things. Our passions, our life is driven to be able to meet the needs and be selfless to meet someone's needs or to enlighten their day or to provide for them something they did not have. And the last thing that he says, and I have to explain this very clearly because I don't want anyone to twist my words, he says, as a ransom for many. We see that his purpose was a saving purpose. Ransom is literally the definition of the wage or the payment to get someone who is bound in slavery and deliver them to freedom. It was a ransom. So when someone would go and they would see a slave, they would pay the ransom, the payment, the money. And that person who was once bound in slavery was free. This phrase right here should stir your heart. It should enlighten your soul to know that Jesus Christ came to pay the payment, to take people like you and me that were once bound to sin, bound to pornography, bound to drunkenness, bound to adultery, bound to gossip, bound to greed, bound to this. We could go on and on. We could spend the rest of our day here talking about things in which we were once bound to. But because he came to pay the payment, to deliver us, those whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Meaning he has come, he has paid the wages, he has given the payment so that you and I who were once bound in sin and slavery could walk free. That is the beauty of the gospel, that broken people like you and me can be no longer in chains, but we can be in freedom. We can walk in new mercy and we can walk in new grace. We can walk in new life that he has come to give. So your purpose could be a saving purpose. And this is what I have to define very clearly because I don't want anyone to twist my words. You will never save anyone. All right? You will never save anyone. You're not going to get to heaven and say, man, you're here because of me. Or, hey, girl, you are here because of me. Your life was so jacked up, but because of me. So even though you will love people, though you will give to people, though you will serve them, though you will pray with them, though you will pray for them, you will never save people. But what you can be is the vessel or the tool that God uses to point people back to himself. You could be the smile. You could be the meal. You could be the prayer. You could be the phone call. You could be the text message. You could be the light that is shown to them that could actually point them back to the Lord. The Spirit of God could be convicting them and drawing them to himself. And then you walk alongside and do your role. You could actually find yourself as the vessel, as the tool that God uses to bring people back to him and live forever and ever with him. Though you will never save anyone, you can never pray anyone to heaven, you can never give anyone enough money to heaven, you can never get anyone there, but you can point them in the right direction. How do I know this? Well, Jesus went to Peter and Andrew and said, hey, come, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So as Peter and Andrew left all of their boats and their nets and everything, and they followed Jesus, what did they do? They went and they preached the gospel. They went and they loved people. They went and they fed people. They went and they clothed people. They went and they healed people. They did all of these things. In whose name, the Bible says? In his name. When John and Peter were outside of the temple, what did they say? Silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have. And they prayed in the name of Jesus that the man would walk. It's all about pointing them to and giving them what they are lacking and what they are desperately in need of. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Though you will never save anyone, you can be the vessel. You can be the tool that God uses to draw people and point people back to himself. So understanding that our purpose is one like Jesus, our purpose is a selfless one. It's sacrificial. And it could be a saving one, understanding that we could be the tool used by God to point people back to himself. Here's the beauty of it all. That should be our passion. Our passions in this life should be selfless acts, sacrificial acts, and saving acts, where we see lives changed radically by the gospel and the Spirit of God. That's what we should be passionate about as Christians. And if we do not see that our passions are driven and rooted in our purpose, then our wellness check is that we are ill. We need to repent and ask God to give us the strength of His Spirit to reveal to us areas of our lives where we are passionate about the wrong things. Forgive us and point us into the right direction. That's the wellness check. What are you passionate about? What is it that drives you and motivates you to do what you do and be what you are? If you are not passionate about giving, about serving, about loving, then our wellness exam may be a fail. And our indication is that we are selfish, maybe. Or we would rather hold on to rather than give, even though Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Or we understand that, yes, we could be the tool, but because it is uncomfortable or because they do not agree with me or because they have hurt me, I'm no longer going to be the vessel or the tool that I could be. Your passion should be rooted in your purpose. And this is the beauty, and I'll end on this. When the people walked around with Jesus on this earth, they saw all of the miracles. They saw him turn water into wine. They saw him take Lazarus out of the grave. They saw him give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. And they saw him take lame people and command them to walk. They saw many things. And the beauty of it is that while they walked with him, because he fulfilled his purpose, they actually experienced heaven on earth for a little bit. Can you just picture that? They experienced heaven on earth for just a bit. And the beauty of it is that when we operate in our purpose, when we operate in our purpose and grow passionate about the things that God is passionate about, we can actually experience and see a glimpse of heaven on earth. Because of the satisfaction in our soul to be the light in the darkness, to be the food that provides to the hungry, to be the clothes to those who are unclothed. That is a small, slight glimpse of heaven here on earth. But it only comes by operating in our purpose and growing passionate about the things that God is passionate about. So if you want to see heaven on earth, fulfill what God has called you to do. Be all that God has called you to be. So today I just want to simply ask you, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Is it your checkbook? Is it your name? Is it your legacy? Is it what people will remember you by? My prayer today is that we will be more focused on what people see through us. As I said at the beginning, I want my wife, if she's still alive, she'll go before me because I cause so much stress in her body and her mind that she'll die long before I will. But if she's there, I want my three girls to stand there. And I want them to look down on Daddy and I want them to say, that was Jesus to us on earth. That was the closest thing that we could ever see on earth that represented Jesus. Why? Because I fulfilled the purpose that God has called me to. Because I gave when I didn't have enough to give. When I did all that I didn't know I could do. When I looked at my life as a purpose that God has called me to. When I was more focused on what people would remember God rather than me, I would be more focused on preaching the word of God than having people praise me. That is what I want. That is what my goal is in this life. I don't care what they say about my ministry, about my checkbook, about their inheritance. They probably won't have one. But what I'm saying is that I want them to remember and I want people to fill that funeral home knowing that the hands and feet of Jesus Christ were operating through me. My goal and my prayer is that every person in this church would leave this place today as that is their pursuit and their purpose. Let's pray.